8, the Bible, God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant, eternal word, speaks to our hearts this morning in the book of Acts, chapter number 1 and verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for what our hearts have felt in this place today. God, I'm glad that you are here. And Lord, I'm glad that we can come to a church and corporately worship you in spirit and in truth. And God, I just pray for these next few moments. Lord, through our busy week that we're involved in everything that we can possibly be involved in, God, I pray just for these real quick minutes this morning, God, that we would focus on you. Turn our attention to you and your word. Father, I pray, God, for that one that may be in our midst today that may not know you as their personal Savior and Lord. God, that the gospel would be presented and Christ would be lifted up in such a way that those that are lost this morning would come to know you as their personal Savior and Lord. God, I pray that you would touch me. God, fill me. Use me this morning for your honor and your glory. And God, all that you do in this place today, God, I will give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the mighty name of Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you very much, and you may be seated. This morning, I am bringing to conclusion about four messages that I've been preaching on what Christ has called us to do in God's Word around the Great Commission. The Great Commission was, go you therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. So we're all on a mission. And so the very first one that I talked about in our first installment was salvation clear and plain. My dear friend, we do not need to muddy up God's perfect gospel. We need to shoot it straight and simple. And the fact is this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is that simple. And then we ask this question, does anyone care for my soul? You might remember the psalmist David asked that question. He looked around, he looked up, he looked down, he looked left, he right, and he looked right. And he wondered within himself, does anyone care for my soul? He forgot to look up, because I guarantee you there'll never be a time in this present time and in eternity that God will not love you. Are you with me? Say amen. And then we talked about a couple of Sundays ago what occurs when a lost person dies. What occurs when an unsaved person dies? And we learn, ladies and gentlemen, again from the doctrine of the Word of God, that there is a place called hell, a place where Christ rejecters, a place where people fail to ask Christ to come to their heart. That's where they go when they die. That's not Randall's doctrine, Brother Larry. That is the doctrine of God's holy word. So this morning, I want to ask a question again. And I think I need you to really think about this with me this morning. So I want to think about this question. Matter, it's a couple of questions. And I want to talk about who, me? A missionary? Who, me? A missionary? If I were to ask this morning, how many of you are Christians, I believe just about every hand would go up in this auditorium. But if I were to ask, how many of you are missionaries, they would be far fewer hands. And the difference in the hand count is because of the fundamental misunderstanding of our responsibility as Christians to be on a mission wherever we are. I just want to just kind of pause right here because I thought of something along with this. I've been thinking about this current generation that you and I are living in. I believe that we are living in a day of instant information. I think we are drowning in information, but starving in wisdom. The wisest man who ever lived on this earth, in Proverbs chapter number 11 and verse number 13, said this. It talks about how that he that winneth souls is wise. He talks about that the fruit of righteousness is of the tree of life. Do you realize, my dear friend, according to this proverb, that you and I, those that are righteous, those who are saved, and may I remind everyone again, I said it in my prayer, there is not one single thing about me that's righteous, but I'm glad. According to God's word, when God looks at me, he don't see my unrighteousness, but he sees me in the filter of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so, but I do realize those that are called of the righteous, those that are saved, that you and I have the fruit of life. And that fruit of life would be to share that fruit with someone else. And he goes on to say that he that winneth souls is wise. A father overheard his young son tell his mother when his mother said, "Don't forget next week, son, you got to go to the dentist." He said, "I ain't going to the dentist." The father said, "First of all, you are going, but you also use good grammar. You don't say, 'I ain't going.'" And he began to describe the proper way to make that statement, the right verb. He said, I am not going, you are not going, he is not going, we are not going, you all are not going, they are not going. Do you understand me now, son? He said, "Yes, sir. Sounds like to me there ain't nobody going." I kind of feel like that in a lot of ways sometimes when it comes to the mission that you and I are on. You see, we need a lot of people in the church of 2022 going and telling others about Jesus Christ. Whether we believe that or not, Jesus Christ still saves, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon me, and you shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Brother Larry, I believe probably for the church of Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8 is probably one of the most important verses in all of God's word. It should be described as the purpose statement or mission statement of every church that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. I might get fired up, y'all. We may say amen. And so let's think about that just a moment. The first thing that I want to say about is this. Within our own power, we cannot fulfill the Great Commission as missionaries for Jesus Christ. Can we? We cannot, for a couple of reasons. First of all, for the reason outside of Christ and the Holy Spirit living in our lives, you and I can't do nothing without Him. I cannot do anything. And second of all, we can't be effective and win the world if you and I are not obedient. And so those things, rushed together, the Holy Spirit of God makes us obedient. Now here's what, I want you to notice at least three significant factors concerning this, who, me, on a mission, a missionary. First of all, I want you to think about the believer's equipping power. Notice the very first of Acts 1:8. You reading with me? But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. The Lord said, I want you to go. And I want you to go and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. You see, the believer's equipping power was to be the Holy Spirit of God. Now, go back just a few verses up, and it says in verse number 6, it says, when they were come together, they asked of him, and he's already said that they're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days. In verse number 5, they said, now, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? You see, they were asking questions about the kingdom. I really think what they were interested in, Brother Darren, was their role as leadership, their position, or the authority that Christ had given them. You see, this point is critical. It needs to be noted. They were not to receive power, not the power of this earth, not the power of position, not the power of recognition, not the power of supervision, not the power of fame, not the power of wealth, not the power of politics. My dear friend, God's very own Spirit was to dwell within their hearts for the sole purpose of telling a world about Jesus Christ. Nothing more and nothing less. Once those early disciples experienced the coming of God's Spirit on their life, they never, ever again asked about earthly power, did they? That was the furthest thing from their mind, because God had given them everything that they needed. I'm telling you, friend, experiencing the presence and the power of God within their hearts and lives was the summit of their life and the supreme experience that only Christ could have given them. Nothing else was ever needed. You see, my dear friend, as a Christian, once we ask Christ to come into our heart and the Holy Spirit of God settles in, we've got everything you and I need to do what Christ is asking us to do. Y'all with me? Say amen. Nothing else. The point is clear. God said, Jake, I'm going to give you a job. The task is not hard. But not only am I going to give you a job, I'm going to give you the power to do it in. You don't need anything else. That's all you and I need. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Listen, the word power there, the Greek word is dunamis, where we get our English word dynamite from. Huh, you ever thought about that? That the Holy Spirit of God is like a keg of dynamite that explodes in our heart. You see, let me just say this right here. Are you with me? Say amen. Brother Dylan, I enjoy your singing. I enjoyed your preaching. I think you did a great job last night on sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brother Danny, you do a great job. Brother Josh, you do a great job. Brother Paul, you do a great job. But I promise you, even what God has called me to do, that I cannot do it unless God's power is resting in my soul. That God's power is not dynamiting in my life to do what He has called me to do. Don't want to do it without Him. Amen? Don't want to get behind this pulpit without the Spirit of God moving in our lives. The believer's equipping power. But then notice with me, we have a purpose. We have something to do. I want you to think about the believer's evangelism purpose. Look again at verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. You see, I believe the believer's task is a great one, to tell people about God. I already said that the disciples asked about the kingdom that was coming and when it would happen. When would believers be gathered together and sheltered and together in fellowship in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ? But you see, and sometimes I ask myself that same question, Lord, when will the time come when we will get home to be with you and we can say goodbye to the ungodly sinfulness of the world and enjoy your presence evermore? But it's not my time to ask when. It's my time to be busy till it does. When will you come? When we're all in perfect fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you and I both agree, he promised that day, didn't he? Hello, are you with me? He promised that day, didn't he? What a day that will be. What a day that will be. When you and I are freed from this world of sin and shame, death and hell. But now, let me note again, now is not the time to be gathered together in heaven, the eternal kingdom of God. Now is not the time for believers to be reveling in the love and fellowship and enjoy of each other's comfort. My dear friend, the crux of what Christ is saying, it's time you boys start winning the lost, bearing witness to the truth about God and Christ. And I want you to know, when the Holy Spirit landed on them boys, Peter got up under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and preached, and thousands were saved. Think about that. Do you realize that what you and I hold as believers in Jesus Christ, there's nothing, no other message on earth that can compare to it? Are they? No other message. Just think about the gospel has the perfect cure for sin. The gospel lets us know that even though we die, and the Bible says that there's none righteous, no, not one, that the gift of that, but we all, for the wages of sin is death. We're all going to die. But my dear friend, for you and I, death is not a big deal. Even we know that hell exists, and we talked about that. There is no reason on this earth for any person to suffer any longer under the weight and the bondage of sin. Their bitterness and hatred, their emptiness and loneliness, their supply of something they're thirsting for. There's no more need for killing and maiming, guilt and shame and ignorance and to the unknown, because God's got a whole army of His children that should share with others across this world about Jesus Christ. Note several points right here. Oh, and by the way, God forbid those of us who have the cure for sin and keep silent. You know what? If we knew there was a person that had the cure, ultimate cure for cancer, and he never got it out, we'd hang him in front of Washington, wouldn't we? Amen. Are you with me? But we have the cure for sin. Notice these words. The word you. It is the believer that is to witness. It is the believer who knows the cure, the truth of salvation. The words unto me. Christ is the message. My dear friend, it's not man's ideas, not even the idea of religion. Christ crucified is our testimony. The word witness, it means, it has the same word as a martyr there. Really, it does. Jesus said, you shall be a martyr for me. You see, the believer is to be so committed to reaching men that they are ready to die a martyr for Jesus Christ to get the gospel out. The word witness, it means that result will happen when the Holy Spirit comes within a person. You see, God's got a pretty good way to reach the world, doesn't he? Hello, are you with me? God's got a great way to reach the world, and we don't need to reinvent it. The believer's equipping power, the believer's evangelism purpose. But notice with me the believer's engaging plan. Look again in verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus gives that method right there for us as believers to follow in His witness and for the spread of the gospel. The believer is to witness where he is. You know what that is? Our Jerusalem. Where we're at right now. The believer is to witness even further out in Judea and Samaria, our county, our state, and then to the uttermost part of the earth. Every believer is to go as far as he or she can personally go. It is to give sacrificially so others can go in the mission field. The believer is to witness where he is at first. My dear friend, a critical point is this. The believer is to see. We have a responsibility. Are you listening? Say amen. We have a believer to see that the witness is reachable to every corner of the world. Are y'all here this morning? Every part of the world. What a difference evangelism would make in our churches across America if every one of us adopted this and began to tell and to give and to go where lost people are at. In conclusion, let me ask the question again. How many of you are missionaries? How many of you? All of us. All of us are missionaries. Here's the thing, though. Look at verse number 11. The Lord ascended up to heaven, verse number 9. And while they were watching the Lord go out on the glory, there was two men stood by them in white apparel. This is what they said. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? I bet that would have been a sight to see, wouldn't it? I know for sure, Brother Paul, I didn't get to see him go up, but I hope I'm here when I get to see him come down. Here's what I think we're doing, and I'm guilty. We're all guilty. We're standing around gazing. We're gazing, hoping somebody else will do it. We're standing around gazing at the trinkets of this world. We had a staff meeting the other night. It was a great meeting, and Danny brought up a good point. I wonder if we're gazing too much at our cell phones. Are you with me? I wonder maybe that we're gazing at other people and say, well, that's good for you over there, but that's not necessarily what I'm going to do. I wonder if we are gazing at more trinkets of this world. It could be, Brother Matt, that people are gazing for a position. I didn't ask for this position. God called me. Are you with me? I didn't ask for this responsibility, Brother Paul. God called me. I've never even thought of myself as a person of power or authority because I realized that without Christ in my life, I am nothing. Zero. Milch. Nothing. And I realize And you should realize too that we can gaze at a lot of things, but it should not alleviate the believer's task to be a missionary. To tell a lost and dying world. You see, the message that you and I have is this, that Christ is the ascended mediator between God and man. Do you realize right there that the Bible says that Christ, when he did go up to heaven, and we can just about in our imagination see him just climbing higher and higher and higher and higher. And Brother Josh, the clouds split. And if we listen real careful, we can hear the applause of all of the angels in heaven when they sent him out. They sent him out knowing that he would come to this sin-cursed earth. He would be mocked at. He would be spit on. He would be beaten. He would be hung on an old rugged cross. And he would die there with his blood soaking up in that hot Mid-Eastern sun. And they would take him off of that cross and they would put him in that tomb. Listen, when those angels got back, he did not leave heaven as a victim. He got back into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God as the victor, not as the victim. And the Bible says that he ever lives to make intercession for you and for me. He's the ascended Son of God, the one who came out of heaven to earth to save men. He is the ascended high priest of God who makes reconciliation for sins. He is the ascended high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities and delivers us and comforts us through all trials and tribulations. Let me ask a question right here. If you're a Christian, you've went through a trial or a valley and you came out on the other end, you got to give God the glory for it because he touched you. Amen. He comforts us with all comfort. He makes intercession for us. He is the ascended King who will one day return to this earth to claim his children that has been held in the devil's clammy hands for way too long. Hallelujah! What a Savior we have. And I'm honored and privileged, Brother Larry, to be an ambassador for the King. Let's pray.